Hebrews chapter 6. So I've been thinking a lot about how we approach the Bible. And I think personally I have a very analytical mind. And so when I look at it, I try to look at the way what the words are actually saying and take those words at face value. The problem with that is I think I miss personal application. And I know one of the reasons that I'm here teaching this class for you is not necessarily teach you about what the facts are in the Bible. Those are very, very important. But I also want to teach you on how you apply the Bible to your lives. So one of the things I did this week is I tried to look at how I can make this more personal for you. And so I did some research, and I decided that I came across 7 or 8 questions that I think when you look at a passage would be really important to ask yourself. Now, keep in mind, not everything is going to apply to you. So with that understanding, I can't make everything in the Bible say this is about you. In fact, I think that would be a dangerous precedent. But there are certainly things that we can learn and apply to our lives. And those are the things I'm going to try to focus on from now on. So when we look at Scripture, I kind of want you guys to ask yourselves these questions. Okay, the first one is, what does this passage teach me about God? And that should be our number one focus. Because remember, it's not about you. It's about our relationship with Him. And about following His will. Second thing we say is, what does this passage teach me about church? And by church I mean the body, not the building. What does this passage teach me about the world? What does this passage teach me about myself or about my own desires and motives? Does this passage require that I take action? I think this is a very important one. Are you doing what this passage says? And I think this is where we're starting today. Last week we left off with moving on to maturity, and the problem is that they're not moving on maturity. So in the context of this passage, the very first thing I would ask you is, are you moving on into maturity? We'll talk about that in a second. Is that a no? Glenda is not moving on into maturity. Yeah, too old? I don't think you're too old to do that at all. does this passage require confession or repentance? Does this passage demand that I require confession or repentance? So if you explore yourself and you decide that you're not moving on in maturity, maybe that's a conversation you need to have with God or with one of us. And finally, what do I learn from this passage that will help me focus on God and put His will first? It's kind of an overlap of part one. Now, there's probably some more you could add to this list, but I think when we look at Scripture, that this should be our general focus. Okay. So, beginning in chapter 6, we're going to cover the first 12 verses. So, who would like to read those 12 verses? So, I don't know if I said the book, but it's Hebrews. John, you want to read them? Thank you. Yeah, just 1 through 12.
Therefore, leaving an elementary teaching about Christ, let us press on. Those who have once been in life. impossible to renew them since they can crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. The ground that drinks the rain, which also falls on him, brings forth vegetation useful to those for whose sake it is also tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless, supposed to be cursed, and it ends up being burned. But, beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, and this that accompanies salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust, so as to forgive your hurt and the love which you have shown for his name, and having ministered and is still ministering to the saints. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence, so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitate to those who in faith and faith hear the promise.
I really like this passage, because when I first read it, I felt like this was a parent talking to a child. And because the first part of it is like, you're wrong, you're doing something wrong, you need to improve. However, there's also something you're doing right. And this is where it gets to the second paragraph. And I want you to keep doing those things you're doing right. And the more and more I thought about it, I didn't really think a parent talking to a child was a good analogy. Because it's not really, it is a rebuke, but not in the way that you would necessarily rebuke a child. I think it was in the way that you might tell a peer or a coworker that there's something that they need to improve upon. Maybe a mentor-mentee relationship that's going on here. And I think that's really, really important to the overall theme, because when we look at Hebrews, the author is telling them that there is something really, really important in their life. What's that really important thing? It's Jesus. Yes. But they're turning away Jesus that was the wrong word. The complete opposite word than what I wanted to say. For worse things. Or they're turning away from things in the past. And when I think about what that applies to me, I feel like this is the danger of how we treat Christ today. As we look at all these things that we think are important, and we put them in front of Christ. Yes, we may be doing good things, but we let these other things get in the way. So this is him saying, I like that you're doing these good things, but you're also doing these bad things. And if you're going to do these good things, these bad things, those good things are not going to matter. That's what it means to move on into maturity. And I especially like that he illustrates this point in the first verse. I think this first verse sets the tone for what he's about to say. Now, he's already been setting the tone. Remember, we've been talking about chapter 5. He's been talking about how they're stuck in that milk phase, that thing that you have for babies, right? And he's saying that you need to move on away from those things. And he tells you what those things are. He says they're from dead works and faith towards God to instructions on washings. This word he's talking about here is baptism. To laying on hands, to the resurrection of death and the eternal judgment. Those things are important, aren't they? How important today are how important are these things to us? How important would you rate these things? Yes, exactly. These are the foundation of all of your faith, right? Do you have anything else that you would add, that you would say would go on this list? But what is he saying here? Yeah. You can't be stuck in these issues. issues are extremely important. And this is probably one of the things that frustrates me is, while these things are important, I feel like we're always in them. Always. How can I grow as a Christian? How can you grow as a Christian if these are the only things we're ever talking about? Don't go away from it. Foundations are not important. They're extremely important. I mean, even Jesus uses the analogy, the wise man builds his house on the rock. So your foundation, that's your rock. And if it's not strong, what's going to happen? Well, what's the other part of the analogy? The sand, the water comes, washes the sand away, the house falls down. Right? If you don't have that strong foundation, you're not going to have good support in the rest of your walk. So if these are the basic things, what are the things of maturity? Was this the tough question? Like confrontation, right? But correct confrontation is a sign of maturity. I think we don't like confrontation because we don't like to tell people that they're doing something wrong. What else is a sign of maturity? Oh, that's another good one. I mean, would you guys call yourselves mature Christians? No? Oh, okay, do you want to share a little bit on that? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's fine. There's nothing wrong for your stage. And the issue is not that people are in the stage. The issue is people are not moving beyond the stage. Okay. So we look at these maturity issues and we have to apply them to our lives, right? And what are the consequences of not applying these to our lives? Okay. Well, we don't grow in God. We don't grow as Christians. And I think in the case like which is happening here, that we fall away. Right? In the analogy where Jesus talks about the foundation on the, he uses when the rains come, the storm. We know those storms are going to come, right? And so what happens in the storm? Well, your faith is tested. And if you don't move into maturity, you're going to be like that person in the parable of the sower who, when he's tested, he falls away. And that's what separates us as Christians from the people who hear quickly and receive but have no good foundation. Okay, move on a little bit. Verse 3 lists the three... hold on a second, let me double check that. I was mistaken here, I'm going to skip that one. So when we get into the heart of this passage, which is in 4 through 8, 4 through 8 is really tough for us to translate. Because one of the things he says in 4, for it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up for contempt. That's kind of tough to hear, isn't it? It sounds to me on its face value that the writer is saying that people who reject God, it's impossible for them to come back to him. For those who have believed in God and rejected him, to come back to him. So I look at this, and I look at this, and the first thing I want to ask is, can we lose our salvation? And what causes us to lose our salvation? Yeah. Well, that's what he says at the end of the section is laziness or slothness or whatever translation. Selfishness? Yeah. I think that goes a lot. Worry. Mm-hmm. very easy to tell people don't worry. They'll probably just not listen to you. Yeah, but we have the perfect example. I mean, we know that worrying does absolutely nothing. Have you ever improved your situation by worrying about it? Anybody? Anybody at all? Find me that one person who did and tell me their secret. No, worrying doesn't help. In fact, it does lead to what you're talking about. It leads to worrying is a lack of faith. But it's also a natural reaction, right? Yeah. I don't want to say too much about it because then I'm getting into my sermon topic today, but in my lesson today I came across this thing. I was reading this author's works on my passage that I was doing, and he says, this is foxhole faith. And then he talked about it how, even in foxholes, there are no atheists. I thought about it, and I guess, huh? Oh, yeah. This is a good analogy, and there's a problem with that, and I'll talk about that in my sermon. But I thought about that, and I thought about, we have another expression that could easily be applied there, and that's making a deal with the devil. And maybe when God doesn't answer us, this is the problem with worrying, because when God doesn't answer you right away, you start looking towards other solutions. And we start being, and we're able to make that deal with the devil. And that's one of the biggest dangers, I think, is, there's something going on in this church where people are turning away. And they're not the only ones. This is still happening today. We talk about this subject all the time. Why are less and less people coming to church? And this is one of the issues, not the main issue, but this is one of the issues that people mention, is that they're worried about things going on in their life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be here a little more.
Yeah.
And
We look at these things in our lives, and John's right, is culturally this is a significant event that's going on tonight, especially for this area. But God transcends culture. God transcends the temporary. He has always been around. He will always be around. And if we keep our focus on Him, yeah, we might see something great tonight, but it will fade from your memory. You're not going to remember that. But you will remember the time that you spend with God. If you're truly focused on Him, you will. Jamie? Today, so we're going to come back to this discussion next week. This was really good discussion, guys. I will say, go Chiefs. But I do hope that you guys choose to be here tonight and not watching a football game. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Most Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful blessings that you've given us. We especially thank you for your Son.